Hello, how's everyone doing out there?
Great.
Jeff Lindahl, and I have AC Johnston on the line today. And
good afternoon.
Hey, AC, you out there?
I am.
Awesome. And what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about how to get deals. We're going to take all your questions. We're not teaching on it. We're just going to find out what you're doing for marketing, come up with some suggestions. So, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to mute everyone, and I need you to press star zero, and the operator will get you in queue for questions. Right. AC, you still there?
I am.
Oh, good. I wanted to make sure that I didn't, meet you out. So, AC, you having any problems finding deals?
Sometimes, yes, sometimes, no. Depends. I think it's a little bit, that's not a I think. It is a bit more difficult during the winter, during the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays tend to slow down quite a bit. People are in much more of a denial mode at that point. And because it is the holidays, they'd rather stay on the positive side, so they're not necessarily looking to get out of their homes. But, you know, I stayed active all during the winter just because I had marketing going on out there. So, but from the student base, Jeff, I will say that I've had people say repeatedly that for them, the winter months slow most down.
Yeah, that's what I find too. It's like that's when everyone seems to go on holiday and they stop their marketing. And I'll tell you, right up until I've closed so many deals right before the start of the new year because the banks they want to get these properties off their own books, and it's a great time to be active. And plus, if you're when you keep your marketing going, it just rolls into the new year. So January, February just starts right off, and like you already have your connections, you have looking at properties, and the most important thing is just keep it going.
Yeah, and part of keeping it going, Jeff, is having the education to work with others, to keep your pipeline full. So they're, students that we have coming through the pipeline with Dave, that are getting the education. There's a ton of people out there that want to do the business that are trying to figure out how they can learn. And one of the ways to do that is to just be open-minded at your local RIA clubs and whatnot, meet up groups, real estate related, et cetera, to work with other people. Are you taking somewhat of a chance? Yes, you are. Right? That's just the nature of the human being. But, overwhelmingly I find there are people out there that want to joint venture on single-family projects, be it to fix it and sell or to hold it, fix it and hold it, or just to get rid of it through quick-turning the contract to someone else. And having the education to work with somebody at that level takes your business further downfield for making money and keeping your pipeline full.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Let me see if there's any questions. Let's see. The operator is Lenium today. And do we have any questions? Anyone in the queue right now?
Yes, we do. You ready to take questions now?
We are.
Okay. Our first question comes from Gerald. Gerald, please go ahead.
Hey, Gerald.
Yes. How do you go about figuring out the fix-up price? After you get the APR value, where do you get the repair price from?
Jeff, you want me to take that?
Sure.
Okay. Harold, if you would, turn your TV radio down in the background. I can hear it just like you're talking. Thank you. How do you determine your value?
How do you turn the repair
value? Right. I've been fortunate enough, young man, to teach about 30,000 people since 1999 when I left the sheriff's office. And there are consistently the same questions through the years, and that's one of them, because people who are getting into real estate or in real estate trying to determine, how do I determine the value of repairs, or what we call RCE, repair cost estimates? To be honest with you, I asked the owner. I asked the owner straight. If I'm not dealing on the MLS or on the market property, I'm dealing with an off-market property. Part of Dave's questionnaires ask about repairs, and I've never conquered what happens once you start peeling wood back and you start finding more damage than what you thought it was going to take. So what I like to do is I ask the owner, you know, in your opinion, or have you had someone to give you a repair cost estimate for the property? And many times they will say, well, actually, I had a realtor look at the property, and they gave me a list of items and told me about what it would cost to get those things repaired so that I could maximize my retail value. Well, that's good enough for me. That's absolutely good enough for me right now, because all I want to do is get it under contract for my associates and I and make a decision after we have it under contract and done our due diligence. And that decision-making is, A, are we going to stay in this transaction based on how we're taking it down or how we're moving forward, or are we going to sell our rights to the contract to one of our associates? In either case, during my due diligence period on an off-market property, I'm then going to have other investors, other associates that I'm looking to do an equity split with, or I'm looking to bring in a debt partner to act as my hard money lender, or I have enough people now that I work with that can go in and give me a ballpark figure so that I know if my purchase price or what I've agreed to with the seller is something that I can move forward with if I keep the property to finish, or if I am going to sell my rights to another investor. I, because this is such a common question and a common fear, I want you to, as Grandma would say, kiss. Keep it simple, sweetie. And the simplicity of it is asking the owner. And when they try to back up on you on an off-market property that, hey, you know, I really don't have any idea. Okay. Do you have a rough idea? You know, if they stick to their guns, no, I really don't. Then I go with three questions. Now, these three questions are not for use as a 4x4 nor a railroad tie. These three or four questions are for use with a feather approach. Now, at 6'3", 270 pounds, I like to do all this over the phone, sight unseen, because I have a reputation of my size and good looks being very intimidating to people. Because I'm such a big guy, people say I intimidate them. So I do it on the phone, and I'll ask a homeowner, tell me about the roof. When's the last time the roof was replaced? And if they can't tell me when that roof was replaced, I'll say, okay, we'll make a further determination on whether that roof is going to need to be replaced or not during our inspection period. And then I'll ask, tell me about the kitchen. You know, I recently had a young man tell me, well, look, my aunt lived in this house. She lived in that house since 1978, and the kitchen was fine for her. And I said, okay, I bet you the bathroom is from then also. Well, yeah. It is. I said, okay, well, remember what I told you earlier in my conversation. I work with a group of associates, other investors around the country, and we buy properties one of several ways, the first being all cash, and the second being if an owner wants more or they owe more than what we could offer, we were going to look to the owner to provide some creative financing. So given that, we then turn around and bring the properties up to code. I just slide that in a casual conversation, because subliminally in their mind, they now know that I'm not talking about somebody's uncle, cousin, brother's, friend's handyman. I'm talking about a GC and what it's going to cost to use that GC. We're going to bring the properties up to code to either keep in our portfolio or to put on the market to sell. Given that information, whatever they tell me the property, in their opinion, needs in repairs, once I talk to them about the use of a GC, I'll then ask, that number that you gave me, is it based on you doing the work, a friend doing the work, a handyman doing the work, or a general contractor? And generally they will say, well, you know, those are my numbers. But if you're going to use a GC, you know, all I'm trying to do and all you should be trying to do when you're dealing with people is dropping seeds in their head that whatever numbers they give you on repairs are probably going to be too low, and whatever numbers they give you on what they think their property is worth is going to be, no, repairs are going to be too high, value is going to be too, repairs are going to be too low, value is going to be too high. I got it that time. So how do I determine it? I ask them for that information. I then go to those three questions. What about the roof? What about the kitchen? Then I'll ask if it's built in the 70s and or 80s, just for the heck of it, just to plant the seed. Do you know if the property's electrical is currently up to code? But if they haven't lived in the property, they're always going to say, well, I don't know. Or if they have lived in the property, they're going to say, well, I guess so. Or, you know, if it's a newer built property, they're going to say yes. All I'm looking for is the hesitation in their voice. Because whatever they think that the property needs in repair is, I don't know about Jeff, your experience in dealing with people is far more extensive than mine, but very seldom do I get anyone to get their repairs right on the spot. Generally, repairs are way too low, but I plant seeds along the conversation. Now, once I have the property under contract, or I have the paperwork signed, excuse me, once I have the paperwork signed and they clearly see that I have a due diligence period in there, one of the strategies that we use is to sell our rights to another investor. That's one. Or sell our rights, assign our rights to the paperwork to another entity. Well, if we've gotten the property under contract at a deep enough discount so that we can make a determination as to whether we're going to bring an equity partner in, a debt partner in, we're going to use our own cash, or we've set up creative financing where the owner will allow us to keep their financing in place or do a lease with an option to purchase the property. Whatever it is that we've negotiated, our first decision is, do we want to stay in it or do we want to sell it? And either way, especially if we decide we're going to sell our rights to another investor so we can make a quick cash pop, we're going to send it out to our investor database, give them rough numbers based on what the owner has said generally, knowing that most properties are going to be, you know, if they say straight up paint and carpet, you might be able to get in and out for $7,500. You know, some will say $3,500, but, you know, I've always got that black cloud. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. So I'll stick with between about $5 and $7,500. If it needs anything to do with the kitchen updating and whatnot, my number jumps to $15. But I'll put in our e-blast out to our investor database what our approximate numbers are based on a conversation with the owner, and I'll put that out there, and then we put another clause that says, please do your own due diligence. Now, that's what I had to do because, especially when I first got started, having the cash to pay a contractor $250 to go out and give me a repair cost estimate. And I didn't have the money to pay $350, $450 to a property inspector to go out there and pull that for me because I didn't know if I was going to move forward or not. So I put it on other people. If we're going to assign the contract, we look for another investor or a person who might be interested in it. We give them a rough estimate, and we say, please do your own due diligence. And then we will adjust our e-blast based on what one or two other investors tell us. Like, you know, AC, you said 15. Man, it's going to be more like 22.5. So, well, that's great. You know, how did you come to that and why? And if what number do we need to get the property under contract to make it work for you if we want to assign our rights to you? And so it's really a ping pong game. If you're dealing with properties that are on market, you're still going to be able to get a due diligence time period, hopefully through the local RIA meetup group, or especially at Dave's big meetings where he brings people in from all over and you can interact with others. Build a team. Offer somebody a piece of the pie if they have rehab background and can go in and give you a good estimate of what it's going to take in repairs. But understand, as all of us watch TV and we start to watch these rehab shows or Quick Flips or Brothers or the Sisters, the Texans or the Louisiana Swamp People, whatever it is that you're watching on TV, know that it's TV. All right, that's the first thing. And know that most of the times what they show you on TV until they start pulling wood back and whatnot, I don't care what number they estimate, it's almost always going to be higher. And what I found in my own business is we generally put a 30% increase on top of whatever our numbers are just so we can cover our assets. Those are my two answers. Long-winded, of course, but still.
Thank you.
Are you looking at a deal right now? Are you looking at a deal right now that you're trying to estimate the repairs on, or?
Nope, I'm brand new, but that was just one of my questions.
Okay.
Did that make sense? Did that make sense to you, what I said?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an inherent fear that most of our newer students have. It's trying to put the pieces together of, how do these other people do it? And am I going to have to pay somebody to do it? You know, the answer is yes, but no. No is when you have the proper education. So if you have the education on how to bring someone in to work with you so you don't have to come out of pocket up front. For example, I just had a lady over in Winston-Salem. I said, listen, I'd like for you to go look at this property and take pictures for me. I have an opportunity to get it under contract. I really should have waited until I got it under contract, but it was completely sight unseen 2.5 hours away or 2 hours away from me. So I said, I tell you what, if you'll just go spend 15 minutes over there, take me about 40 pictures, total of 60, with the 40 on the inside and the other 20 on the outside, send it to me. I'll do a joint venture for you with you so that if I keep it, or sell the rights to it, whatever I do, I'll make you a principal in the transaction through a JV and pay you $500 because you do that for me. So it didn't cost me anything. I didn't get it under contract, and she understood ahead of time, you know, if we can get it, if I can make it happen, I'll pay you. So it's all about your education.
That's a good idea. I like those pictures. What we started incorporating was videos. We'll, like, go out there, we'll take a video, and then we can show it to our contractors. And then we have a couple of rehabs that we're doing right now. And when the contractor thinks he's close to being done, we have him do a video of the inside and the outside, just a sweep around, again, so we can see what's being done, if he's doing something that we didn't pick up at the last time. So we're always getting videos, and they work pretty good too. So the pictures and the video.
We did that with her too, but I've got another personal student of mine here in the area who does FaceTime with her contractor. I have no idea what FaceTime is. I know my daughter uses it. She's 9. She and her friends through cheerleading, but I'm told that she literally has her contractor with an iPad or whatever it is. God, my age is showing. And the contractor walks the property with her and shows the property and the progress and the problems. No video. They do video and pictures, but the rest of it is live.
Wow, that's great.
You know, she's sitting at her dining room table. Her contractors, it's 92 degrees here today where I am. They're out there sweating and doing, and she's watching what's going on because the contractor's trying to tell her something, and he's got her on FaceTime. So for all of you that are listening, you know, these tools that are coming out in today's world, maximize their use for your business. If you're old school like me, you know, I'm the pot calling the kettle black right now, but learn to use the technology. I just got a Gmail account, Jeff, what, about 6 months ago, 8 months ago? I was AOL down.
Nice.
All right, what's next?
Okay, up next we have Danny. Danny, please go ahead.
I don't have any specific question. I just wanted to listen in.
Oh, you can come up with at least one question, Danny. What are you doing in your business right now?
Well, the other day I approached a private lender, and they asked me for a summary sheet. Do you guys have a sample of what that would look like?
Property? I'm not sure what...
Let me tell you what your private money lender wants.
Okay.
You have a pen and paper, right?
Yes, I do.
Call it the such and such address, you know, the 1645 Glen Forest project summary. And what your private money lender generally wants for something like a single family, you know, small residential is that you provide the comps for the area. And you can get that from your realtor, plus or minus 200 square feet, plus or minus 5 years if you can of build, 5 to 10 years of build, and provide that as part of the project summary. Also provide who you are. You know, here's who I am, very brief. A lot of people, I mean, I walked into Central Carolina Bank as a deputy sheriff not making $30,000. I walked out with $1.2 million in, that I could access immediately only because the guy liked the fact that I came in polos. I wore a pink shirt to down my large, good-looking self. but I provided him with an executive summary or a project summary along with financials at the time, but the fact that I said, this is what I want to do with your money. So I want to take this single family. My company, my name, is looking to purchase this property and put X amount of dollars into it, and you already know what you're going to potentially, what you already have it under contract for.
Yeah.
And hopefully you've already gotten two or three people to go in and give you a repair cost bid analysis.
Yeah.
And so long as those numbers fit the parameters that your private money lender says they'll loan up to, then you document it. Here's what it's worth after repaired value, and those are the comps. There's 3 to 5 comps there to show you what the property could be worth within that neighborhood. I also like to provide a snapshot off of Trulia or Backfin of the neighborhood showing properties for sale and or sold just to show that my numbers are coming from that neighborhood.
Okay.
And they can see the street. So, what do? I use Microsoft Office 2010 and at the top it says edit picture. You know, I use Gene to take a snapshot, but I understand I can use Microsoft Office also to take a snapshot, but I use Jing.com to take a snapshot. It's free. And then I save it and open it with Microsoft Office 2010, and anything I've taken a snapshot off of my computer of that is pertinent to the information that my private money lender needs, I'll put it in that project summary. You know, the one that I'm doing now in Fayetteville, I was working on it before this phone call, and I had a realtor pull me comps for 1,500 to 1,800 square foot homes. I've got one house that I've moved that's going to be 1,500 square feet. And I'm going to build 2 1,800 square feet. So I need money to do that. I don't have the funds personally.
Yes.
So the private money lender just wants me to give comps for what you expect to build, what should it be worth, what are your expenses, and will they fall within the guidelines of what I do not want to exceed, you know, at 70 cents on the dollar, everything has to be included, or 65 cents on the dollar. And, you know, mine generally is no more than two pages. Nine out of ten times, it's one page.
Okay.
And write up for your private lender what your plan is, and make your plan contingent on your CMA. Your market analysis is going to say, at this price per square foot, houses are moving on average at 57 days, within 57 days. So if you're basing your property on that price per square foot, based on the intelligence that you've done, the recon, so to speak, then you should be able to sell your property within that 60-day window. But what you're doing is not saying that we're going to do this, but we're setting everything up based on this price per square foot. Your funds, we expect to be able to do this. And don't forget to give a timeline for what you're going to do.
Okay.
And look, what did I tell you earlier that Grandma said? Kiss. Keep it simple, sweetie.
Yes.
don't overthink this stuff. Man, don't overthink. I'm an A personality on steroids, and that's been my biggest enemy, is myself.
Okay.
That's all right. Good. I hope you're a fast writer.
Yes, I got all my good notes. Good notes.
That stuff down? That's good.
He's not writing anything. He's recording. You know that.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
If you think of something else, just jump back into the queue. If you have any questions, if you want to get in the queue, just press star zero, and the operator will put you in the queue. You don't have to go in just once. You can come back in. You do whatever you want, because we're here for you. So, operator, who's next?
Okay, up next we have Ralph. Ralph, please go ahead.
Yes, I have a quick question, or two. Dave talked about with direct mail that he had the VA to help him. I think it was like stuffing and stamping. How do I get a hold of them?
Virtual assistants are all over Google. If you are on LinkedIn, you can find virtual assistants. If you have access to Google, you
no,
can
No, no, no.
Search.
I'm not talking about virtual assistants. I'm talking about a person that takes the envelope, stuffs it in an envelope.
Oh,
and
you can run a Craigslist ad. You can do it that way. You can like post the advertising down at
No, he talked about directly with the VA.
Oh, not a virtual assistant, but the Veterans Administration.
Yeah.
Jeff, I'm gonna leave that one to you. That's one of those questions that I barely get. I don't get thumped often on a question, but he's.
Oh, so what he's doing?
I've never used the VA.
Oh yeah, what he's doing is like he uses VAs. We use like when I said like you can post like a job ad on. At an elderly complex, you're looking for someone that that you're going to pay to stuff those envelopes. So when you contact the VA, or you can just go down to their wall where the people post jobs, and you just post a job that you're looking for someone to do the letters, the stamps.
What are you talking about? What department?
They have like the people that help them, like. If it's like almost like a guidance type of department where they're helping them find jobs, and there's always like a billboard outside of that where people put up what they're looking for, and that's what you do.
Okay, second question, real quick. I know you're busy. This is about corporations. Let's say that I get a house. I put it into a form of a corporation, which they let's say a state that only does corporation. It does not do LLCs. Okay. Is the real estate considered a capital, which you have to pay dividends to your stockholders or your directors, or no?
I've never put one in the corporation. Have you, AC? I use trust.
No, I haven't.
So you put it into a trust then?
Yeah, that question needs to go to your CPA or accountant, because every state, everybody's different how they roll, but I use LLCs here in Raleigh. you know, in North Carolina, and I use a trust. I'm actually doing three other deals where I'm setting up three trusts, and that's the way we roll here. But
okay,
I don't hold in a corporation.
Okay, how much does a trust usually run to get, cost to get?
I've seen prices on the Internet, with all due respect, hope you're sitting down, of $3,000 to $5,000. Then
okay.
I've seen, you know, others charge $1,500, and I've seen them as low as $750.
Now, is that just one trust with a whole bunch of houses in it, or just one house at a time?
You know, I've been doing this teaching stuff since 99, and I've heard it that one trust, one property.
Okay.
I've heard one trust, one LLC, or multiple trusts, let's say five trusts with one LLC. I've heard that same scenario, but the equity in your property should not exceed whatever you could stand to lose if somebody gets hurt inside of that LLC. So I have been at it long enough to have heard the different attorneys affiliated with real estate educators give their opinions. So what I do is I've hired an attorney here, and she and he, I have two, they direct me what I should do, and it's more of on a personal level that I give that type of service.
Okay, then. Thank you very much for your help.
My pleasure.
I would suggest that you go to your real estate club and ask who's using who for real estate attorneys in your area,
mm-hmm.
and then I can get some recommendations. And
okay.
see, and then like quiz them on how many. When you talk to them, just find out how many flippers. Is that what you're doing? You're gonna be flipping houses?
Flipping and rentals.
And rentals. Ask them how many clients they have that have been doing, how many deals they've done in the last
okay.
like 6 months.
Now I wouldn't have to put
it, active.
I wouldn't have to put the house into a trust if I'm flipping, right? Because that's only like 3 to 6 months.
It yeah. If you're flipping the contract, you wouldn't have to.
But
I figured if you're just leasing,
it.
Leased own, you would.
There's a couple of different ways.
I would, because when I do a lease option, I have a lease agreement with you as the seller and an option to purchase from you. You know,
mm-hmm.
Lord forbid that you drop dead.
Yeah.
And now I have to deal with your family. Or, Lord, you know, let's, you know, that you're in a car wreck. Well, if you know, if a judgment attaches against you and you are the direct owner of that property and or a significant other, and I'm 3 years into a lease option with you and I now want to exercise my option, and you have this judgment sitting there against you, that can create problems. So
yeah.
I am not acting as an attorney right now, nor a CPA. You need to seek legal and professional advice. However, in saying that, I will say that one of the things that we like to do in our business model is move lease options, have the owners put the properties in a trust, and have them with the property in a trust with the trustee. They're no longer the direct owners of the property, even though they're a beneficiary. And then there are, every state has different rules when it comes to trust. And so you just have, your question is, would you? My answer is, we do. But that's because my attorney has said, if you're going to do a trust to further protect you and or your company, you're going to do a lease option, move your property into a trust. But what you will find in the real estate education community is there's so many very well-educated, savvy individuals that have had the brilliance of setting up a business to teach, and each of them have their own ways of doing it. And I remember, especially for the young man earlier, being brand new at this. I mean, I bought my first one in 89 and then got officially started getting educated in 99. But it was like every place I turned to, everyone had a different opinion. I'm bringing that to you all's attention to say, don't believe everything you see on YouTube. Don't believe every article you read off the internet. It is the most wide open. It's like the wild west. You know, get an education from somebody that you have found a trust in and a belief in their way of conducting their business, because at the end of the day, you need to go seek your own legal advice, attorney, and accountant as a result of what Jeff said, going to your local RIA group and finding out from them whose services they are utilizing for their business, and make sure they have the experience of having done what you're attempting to do so they can give you some legit advice.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sam.
Uh-huh.
Okay, who's next?
Okay, up next we have Brenda. Brenda, please go ahead.
Hello, Dave. So I have a question. I do apologize about my background. I'm outside. But my question is,
Wait a minute. You have to apologize for calling me Dave. This is Jeff.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim.
No. Wait a minute. She was calling me Dave. She needs to apologize.
Jim and Dave, okay?
AC and Jeff. What's up?
AC and Jeff, okay. So my question is, I'm interested in doing flips. However, when I'm composing my email, I'm not sure how to include my price when I'm, you know, putting out my email to my buyers. So my question is... Okay.
It's real easy. You just, you know, I have a property under contract for 35. I'm the principal in the transaction, and I'm in my due diligence inspection period. And when I shoot it out to my investors, they see that I am asking 41.
Okay, so
period.
I should just lump it all together.
Well, I'm not good. Well, that's what I do here, and what I found here is that it's legal to do that.
Oh, okay.
So that is an atypical assignment of a contract.
Okay.
Is that you get the property under contract, and then you sell the rights to that contract to another investor. You are not selling the property; you are selling the paperwork.
Correct. Okay. Okay, perfect.
So, but on top of that, be mindful that for those of you who are in Ohio right now, there is a serious move in Ohio to clamp down on private investors that are acting as unlicensed realtors. And it's starting to spread because so many people are getting their information off the internet. They're not getting a formal education from people who know what they're doing. They're trying to take the easy route. And as a result of that, they are practicing as an unlicensed realtor. And it's like this. You just said you want to flip. What if you told one of your sellers, I want to get your property under contract, and then I'm going to help you find a buyer. You're not a realtor. So just be mindful that you never know who you're going to be talking to. When I came on board with Dave, I had survived two approaches by two different attorney generals in regards to the operation of my business. And I passed both with flying colors because I had all these manuals and my own business plan as to how to run my business, and I had my negotiations in there. This is what we're attempting to do. This is what I'm going to try to do. And it's like when I was a deputy sued. I got sued. A guy said that I had a strong Hispanic accent, and he couldn't understand me when he tried to do bodily harm. And he went to the hospital, and then he decided to sue. Well, what they did was they went back and talked to all these different people that I had arrested or stopped for DWI,
driving while impaired, and no one said that I had ever referred to the DWI test as a simple Simon says, you know, which is what he was saying. Same thing with you in the performance of your business as an investor. Mm-hmm. What you say may be recorded. What you say may be an attorney general. What you say may be to a Live at Five reporter who's trying to get the scoop on you or anybody mm-hmm. else. And by becoming consistent in your conversation with people, it becomes part of your DNA. So I just wanted to sling that one at you also.
Okay, because now you confuse me. So are you okay. So, but I'm letting them know that I'm, you know, a real estate investor right off the top, correct?
You're
like,
talking
I'm
about
letting
a
them
seller.
Know, correct, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you ask them as part of your DNA questioning if they've tried a realtor?
I have not. Should I be
part
asking
of,
that question?
That's what I do.
Okay.
Once upon a time, I had a elderly lady that I put her property under contract, and we sold the property on a simultaneous close to someone else, and her children came in and said we took advantage of her because I'm so much more savvy than she was. And we got that whole issue resolved. It resolved to my favor. I didn't take advantage of her, but my attorney said to me, AC, have you ever thought about incorporating into your data sheet, your telephone questionnaire, asking people, is the property now or has it been or are they considering listing it with the realtor?
Okay.
And then what I want you to do is full disclosure. Tell them that you're a real estate investor, that you plan on working with other associates of yours to make a profit, and that they should really try a realtor first because they'll make more money.
Okay. Gotcha. It makes sense.
And that
okay.
way, that way nobody comes at you and says, because you've invested in your education, you took advantage of someone.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
now it becomes full disclosure so that if somebody does decide they want to sue you, your attorney and their attorney is going to go back in your paperwork, and what they'll find is you never said to somebody that this DWI test is a simple Simon test.
Okay.
Every time they talk to somebody, they're going to hear, yes, she told me that I'd make more money if I went through a realtor. She told me that she was a private investor and she was in it to make a profit. And
okay.
once that becomes part of your verbal judo, so to speak, your DNA conversation, it just flows naturally. And I've honestly
okay.
had people come back to me and say, because you told me I should try a realtor, no one else has told me that, I think we're going to do business with you. And
okay.
here's the true value of you asking that question. I want you to pay close attention to this.
Okay.
8 out of 10 people that call us off our marketing have already spoken with a realtor.
Okay.
So what harm are you doing you're doing no harm to your business, and you look like you are the up, you know, you are the up and up business person because you're telling people the truth.
Yes.
Make more money through a realtor, and I am an investor, and I am going to be looking to make a profit.
Okay, perfect.
So the answer to your question is yes. When you shoot it out to your investors, just make sure that if you know that if your buyers are looking for a GIP of 30%, that means they'll pay no more than 70% of the purchase price and the repairs. So you have to make sure that at 41, you're still leaving them their 30-32%, and you're at 68 to 70 cents on the dollar of the maximum allowable offer.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I ask a little bit more. Like in that case of the example, I ask 44.9.
Mm-hmm.
Because you and I both know there's always going to be the other investor out there is going to feel better. They'll be able to sleep that night if they could get me down to 41.
Okay. Yes. So I guess my second question, can I ask a second question?
Only if you say, never mind, I'm a big jokester, so I'll leave you alone because I know I'm supposed to be very professional. Go ahead.
So my second question is, now when I get the buyer, like say the buyer agrees, so this is my confusing part. When I get him to agree, what happens next? Like, do I give him all the information now? Because I'm not sure what to do after that part.
What you should do at that point or at this point is get an education. Sign up for our coaching. Come to the class that I'll be teaching in a couple of weeks up in Boston. Because
okay.
we're going to cover all of that. The information you're asking me for right now is as simple as you will take your contract and you will do an assignment of contract. That assignment of contract and contracts, paperwork, need to be reviewed out of Dave's software by
yes.
your attorney.
Okay.
It's as simple as you doing an assignment of that contract. For example, I would say, my buyer's name is Claude, and Claude said, you know, AC, I know you're asking 44.9. Best that I could do would be about 41.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've learned through the years to say the following things. First thing I would say to Claude's 41 would be, Second thing I'd say to Claude would be, man, is that the best you can do? In hopes that he'll increase it. If he comes back and says, you know, 41's my number, then I'm always going to say to Claude, well, if I can make it work, if we can make it work at 41, is there any reason we shouldn't do the paperwork right now for it? Or can
okay.
we get the paperwork done right now? Because if
okay.
you answer him too quickly, if he says 41, you say, okay, I'll take it. He's going to say to himself, damn. I wish I had offered
lower.
37.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
so,
yes.
So I have in my DNA to say, no matter what someone says, I'm always going to put myself on hold because Jeff will tell you I'm an excitable big boy. And I will always say, because I have to. Because if I'm getting mm-hmm. ready, you know, the day I had a property under contract for the guy, I had a buyer at 65, and, you know, I knew it because she had bought from me before, and it was in the same neighborhood. And I said to the gentleman on the phone, I said, listen, I don't want to play ping pong. And, you know, I know you're dealing with other investors. I work with a group of associates to be a cash buyer, and we can close quickly. So give me your bottom number, and I'll let you know if it'll work for us. Well, I told you I already had a buyer at 65. And when he mm-hmm. said, well, Mr. Johnson, if I could get $35,000, if I would walk away from my aunt's house today. Now, though I was standing in my office doing the funky chicken, I couldn't let him know that I would accept that. So what I said was, hold on. I did the funky chicken. I sat back down, hit the button, got him on the line, and I said, is 35 the best you can do? Because I don't want to leave money on the table. And
mm-hmm.
he said, look, man, $35,000, if you won't give me $35,000, you're wasting my time. And I said again, okay. And I said, well, if we can make it happen at $35,000, take me a couple of hours. Now, my heart was about to come out of my chest. But if I could put the paperwork together, can we get together today and get it signed? We'll need a notary. And he was like, yeah, you can make that happen. So we met at Applebee's in Garner, North Carolina at the time, and then we went to a local Bank of America to get the documents notarized. So now I have it at 35, but I acted like it was too much. So the same thing with you. If you have it at 35, you put it out at 41, or you put it out at 44, and an investor comes along and says, you know, I'll give you 41, don't jump on it right away because then they're going to know you're negotiable lower.
Okay. Because I'm going to shoot it out to several people, not just the one
okay.
buyer. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, just tell them what you want. If anybody asks you, remember what I said earlier. Don't act as a realtor. Tell the truth. You're a principal. Let me hear you say this. I'm a principal in the transaction. Say it.
I'm a principal in the transaction.
Some will ask you, so do you own it? And you tell the truth. Because you don't know if you're talking to an attorney general or live at 5, mm-hmm. You tell the truth. So, no, I don't own it, but I'm in agreement with the owner so that I'm a principal in it, and I reserve the right to sell the property or sell my right to the property.
Okay.
And all that's going to come through years of experience and learning what to say and what not to say. And generally it takes somebody getting spanked in the real estate community for what they did for us to learn what not to do. Just hope it's not you.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. Well, thank you for taking my call and my questions.
Come see me in 2 weeks.
Yes, I get the email. Thank you. Okay. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What AC is referring to, if those of you that don't know, is we're having a flipping house in training in Boston. It's on June 20th, 21st, and 22nd. If you're interested in getting any further information, just give me a call here at the office at 781-878-7114 or send me an email, jefflindahl@rementor.com. So, with that said, who's next?
Okay, up next we have Joan. Joan, please go ahead.
Thanks so much for all your thorough answers. Mine, I think, is pretty simple. If you're dealing with somebody such as a photographer or a bird dog and you want to include them in the as a percentage of the proceeds, how would you figure that out?
Well, first off, where I'm from, it's against the law to pay a bird dog fee, referral fee, to anyone. That is reserved for the professional realtors that are out there. The licensed individuals can pay referral fees. Again, I'm not an attorney. You'll need to seek legal advice on my answer. But what I do is if someone brings an opportunity to me, we do a joint venture.
Okay.
That's it. And in the joint venture, we agree in writing to a percentage of whatever it is that I'm looking to make. And that percentage will be based on whether I'm just flipping the contract to another investor. You know, let's say I said, if you bring it to me, I'll give you 30% of whatever I make if we assign the contract. And what we'll do is I'll make you a principal in the transaction through this joint venture, and it will dictate that you are to receive a copy of all documents, have direct access to my closing agent, my attorney, so that I do full disclosure. And it will dictate in there that you are a principal in this transaction and you will be making 30% of whatever my company name nets out of the transaction. If you're going to bring me a deal and you just want me to work with you on it to get it moved and rehabbed or new build, but you're not using my crew and you're not asking me to get the money, then I'll ask to be a joint venture partner in that with you at 10%. So whatever you make, I'm going to net 10%. It could be 25%, but it's what we agree to. If you come to me on a rehab and you want me to put the crew together, you want me and my team to manage it, and you want us to help you find the money, then we will give you 20 to 25% of the profit, because we're going to be doing all the work. So as my attorney told me one time, AC, a written agreement between you and another person is a written agreement between you and that person, period. But when it comes to real estate people across the country, paying referrals is for a realtor. I know you go online and you see all these people saying bird dogs and we'll pay a referral fee. I can't speak to the nature of their business, but because I'm still a law enforcement officer, though it be a reserve officer, you know, even if I wasn't, the law says you cannot pay bird dog fees, you cannot pay referrals unless you are a professionally licensed real estate agent or broker, whatever is appropriate in your market. So a joint venture gets it done.
Okay. And on the joint venture agreement, do you get that notarized?
I've not gotten it notarized. The joint venture agreement, do I get it notarized? No, mine and I haven't gotten notarized.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thanks so much.
I hope that helped.
It does.
Awesome.
Okay, who's next?
Okay, up next we have Wayne. Wayne, please go ahead.
All right, thank you. I'm curious what your advice would be for a newbie on the quickest way to generate cash. My sense is that it's wholesaling, and if that is the correct answer, what are the steps to getting there in the quickest way possible?
Yeah, get educated.
Can you say more on that?
You want the rest of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm smiling real hard right now. The rest of it is learn to co-wholesale. Learn to pick a niche of what you want to do, finding deals or finding buyers. And if you are going to the local RIAs and you're finding your rehabbers, you're buying holders, connect with them, ask them. If you know you're out there working the business and you'd like to, if you can contact them, and you have another investor contact you off your website and decide that they have a property under contract, then do a joint venture with that investor to wholesale it, sell the rights to it to the people that you've begun to network with. Now, is that the quickest way? Yes, but the quickest way though is to get educated. And then, as a result of your education, understand the business of what you're attempting to do. Look, I mean, Jeff, don't cut me off.
No.
I'm just going to say this to all of you. There's nothing easy about running a business. Those of you that are entrepreneurs know what I'm talking about. I know that there are people out there on the internet that are telling, oh, you can do this and do that, and it's easy, it's easy. It gets easy once you have the education, but you don't know what you don't know. And as a result of what you don't know, and then to not only you, young man, but to everyone out there to say, look, I'm a newbie. What's the quickest way I can make money? I'm not going to lie to you. Go get an education. You have to sell a car, sell a watch, you know, take something off layaway. Come to the training. Get a coach. Get a mentor. Because going online and trying to do it straight off YouTube, once you have the education, you can go to YouTube and extrapolate from there what's valid information and what's not. But that's only going to be because you have an education. So, yes, the quickest way in this business is to work with others that have one goal in mind. Now, remember, we're all strapped down with a quiver. And that quiver is your brain. The arrows represent your education. If you are a one-quiver person, all you know is to try to get properties under contract at a deep discount. And because you understand what your potential buyers are willing to pay for the, you know, for that property through paying you for the rights to your contract on a cash basis, that's all you have. The people who understand that you can assign or you can co-wholesale with other people, you can joint venture with others. I know, you know, there are some individuals out there today that are you know, they've set up paperwork and calling it co-wholesaling. I learned that term probably 2 years ago. because I'd always called it just joint venturing. You know, if we're going to do something together, we're going to put it in, we're going to put it in writing. And the best way to do that is you team up. You call every We Buy Houses person you find on Craigslist or on the internet in this area or in your area that is going to be spending all their a lot of money on marketing and hopefully have some education, and you team up with them and you tell them the truth. I'm working buyers out of my area. If you get something under contract and you want to give me 5 days of your due diligence period to see if I can find somebody, we can do a co-wholesaling agreement, or we can do a co-marketing agreement, or we can do a joint venture agreement so that I'm a principal in the transaction for 5 days. That's all you're giving me is 5 days. And then I'm going to take that and I'm going to market it to my investors. Because, see, now you're a principal in the transaction. You can actually, you know, be a representative of the partnership or the agreement that you have there. But check with your attorney to confirm how that should be done. But you do, then you do reserve that right, if the attorney says so, to sell your rights or sell the rights to that contract to them. And then you and that investor would split however you have it in writing. That is the quickest way to start getting paid, because they're the ones spending the money on marketing to find the motivated sellers. They hopefully have the education to communicate and articulate and deal versate negotiations so they can get the property down low enough price-wise so that they can find a buyer that will pay them $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 more than what they've negotiated. And you step in to help find those buyers, and that's how you start getting paid.
All right. Well, thank you.
My pleasure.
All right. We're getting near the top of the hour. Operator, how many more people do we have in the queue?
We have no further questions at this moment.
Oh, perfect. Perfect time.
Well, Jeff, I have a 1 o'clock appointment that has stepped into my office that is my private money lender.
Oh, okay.
And if you know like I know, I definitely don't want to keep her waiting. So I'm going to say to everyone out there that's still on the call that Jeff, Dave, and Dave and family, I appreciate, Jeff, you guys reaching out to me and giving me an opportunity to share some of my wisdom with these people, the students on the line. I hope that when I get off the line that you're going to encourage them to possibly come to Boston in a couple of weeks.
I will, yeah. Looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, and or – yeah, me too. If they can't make it to that, maybe they can put their further trust and money into the program and sign up for a coach. Having said all that, I wish you all well. Enjoy your journey. And, Jeff, thank you. I've got to go and make a little cheese here. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, AC. Okay, that will do it. Go out there, put in a couple offers, start your business, and if you have any questions at all, give us a call here at the office, 781-878-7114, and that's it. Good night, everybody.